Mike Buseglia here from SeavillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to RunCast, a weekly form of everything running, with your host, Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of RunCast. Appreciate you joining us. Hope it's going to be pretty informative and had a fair amount of folks on the back. That's one of the goals doing this podcast is to really compliment so many of the wonderful accomplishments of folks in our community. And also at the same time, hopefully you walk away with if you're a new runner or even an experienced veteran runner, you walk away with a few thoughts on how to improve your running lifestyle. Heat came back into our life over the weekend. It's a tricky time of year. We kind of get in a lull a little bit and thinking it's we're out of the woods. And then we had folks in marathons all over the place, local folks running marathons from Chicago to Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. We had the Army 10-miler on Sunday, and we had the big Albemarle Invitational on Saturday. All were affected by a seemingly perfect weekend. Cynthia and I were up at a wedding with our family. Cynthia's family, nephew got married up in Finger Lakes. Beautiful, absolutely gorgeous, perfect weekend. And as I was driving up in the car with Alec and Annie, we came up after the Albemarle Invitational. So Cynthia was already up there, and we got about halfway up, went to Harrisburg, woke up the next morning, and rode from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, up to just beyond. We drove past the Little League World Series stadium. Cool. Gorgeous, absolutely. Leaves are changing. Anyway, we listened. We had Heidi Johnson, who's my Boston captain, was giving us text message updates and then some phone updates, live updates on our folks in Chicago. They were simultaneously running, and I kept saying to Alec, "You know how beautiful it is outside. That means it's the death of them." Yeah. And as it turns out, it was the death of one person in Chicago. Whether it's the third year out of the last 4 years that they've had 80 plus degree weather for their It's
too hot.
Weird. It's weird. You know, you got to start to wonder about Al Gore and all this stuff because it's trending more and more towards the fall being hotter and hotter. But anyway, folks did quite well. Start on Saturday with the Albemarle Invitational. This is the last big prestigious cross country meet of the season before we head into postseason. The second half of the season, I call it second season, which is district, regional, and state championships. And Albemarle came away with another title, the boys, Buzz Males gang. There were 44 teams, 44 good teams, some really good teams. And Albemarle continued its unbeaten streak within the state boundaries. They're having quite the season. They're now firmly entrenched as the number one team in the state, led by their steady Eddie, Adam Visake, 1558. Ryan Thomas, who you and I have talked about so often, Mike, the phenom freshman last year, is having sophomore year, a lot of times pressure, and you change physically, and you start to think too much. You have an off season not happening with him. He finished second for the team, 16:10. He was fifth overall in a race with 298 people in it, 298 good runners. Mm-hmm. Ben Deal, Chris Springer having a good day. He was their fourth runner. And then number five runner, Aaron Elder, having a really good race, 17:33. He was their fifth man. And worth noting that the fifth man is always the most important person on a cross-country team. They can take a ship that's cruising along, sailing beautifully, and anchor it and tip the boat and sink it if they finish far enough back. Because, as you know, in cross-country, the beauty of it, true team sport, your caboose is as important as your engine. So here's Visake. He finishes second. So now you have 2 points. And low points win. Thomas finishes fifth. Now you have 7 points. You're in the driver's seat. Now you have your two guys are in. You only have 7 points. You're not even in double figures. That third guy's 16th. So now you're 23 points, still really low. And then Springer's 26. So you add that. What is that? 49. That's a really good score. And then you have to be careful. Number five doesn't drift off too far back because suddenly you can if another team's packing them kind of in there ahead of you. You ever at a cross country meet, Mike, it's a cool thing to watch. A really good coach is still out on the course. In fact, he has or she has been out on the course. And this goes for the girls as much as the boys. He's got his eyes firmly focused on number five and number six. And you'll quite often hear them screaming, "You got to move up. You got to pick off a few more people. You got to get a few more spots. Come on, come on, come on." And quite often these meets come. I mean, Albemarle won this meet, but not by a lot, 20 points. And you put in a big meet like this, 20 points, 20, that's 20 spots.
Right.
I mean, you've probably been at Finish Line, Mike. They just coming in 2 or 3, 4 per second. So a guy can be just ahead of you and be 16 places ahead.
Exactly.
So this is a shout out to kids, any kids that are taking the time to listen to this in your busy world of being overwhelmed with different ways to hear your communication these days.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe somebody, a young person, maybe a parent's listening, but number five is such an important position in cross country. And I was at a meet last week. I think I told you on the last week, the Covenant Invitation, I was yelling at this one kid who was fifth. You got to move up. Got a Miller kid. Got to move up. You're the most important guy out here. The kid kind of, he looked over to me, gave me this weird, just half glance, like, who is this old man screaming at me that I'm the most important person on the team right now? And, you know, if he's been versed, and Huffnagel and Post, the good coaches, have told these kids fifth is really important. So anyway, kind of an unusual day. Western was 11th. Almond did something I've never seen them do. They put four guys into the chutes before Western put their first guy. That is a dominating performance. That rivalry, which was so intense for several years, is having a little bit of an off year right now. Western still having a good season, but to have four Almar runners ahead of your first guy is, I don't know if I've ever seen it before.
That's incredible.
They were led by David Taylor. Monticello was 16th overall. Anthony Tamburini, great race, 17-14. Wilson Memorial, one of my favorite area teams, they came in riding a pretty high horse here. They're looking really good in their single A. A division. They're going to be one of the teams to beat in a few weeks. They were 20th. Fluvanna was 31st, led by Chris Markham. He was 27th overall, 16-47. That's a breakthrough race. Charlottesville, Malloy, Owen, 17-27. They were 33rd overall. They were led by Malloy. And then Nelson, led by Miguel Zarate, 16-48. They were 35th team. And that's on the boys' side. On the girls' side, we were missing our number one runner. She had turned her ankle, Alshin Hushke, our number one area runner. And number one in the poll last week. She'll be number one again this week. You got to take a few weeks of being injured before you get voted out down on the poll. So it's hers to lose at this point. If she goes out and races, I suspect she'll be fine. I gather she'd really want to race on Saturday. But Coach wisely said, no, let's keep you out for the most important run. Hannah Rosa Wilson, she was third overall. That's a great, great time. And then Madeline Hermsmeyer, 1924. I can't remember. Too much faster time from a local kid on that very challenging panorama course, 1924, tremendous. That'll vault her right up to, I've actually got the poll this week in my hands. Alec compiles this each week with coaches' votes, and Madeline is vaulted to number two on the poll right behind Hushke. That's a tremendous time, like I said, on a tough course. Annie Taylor, the freshman from Western, continues to be consistently solid. 20-28, she was 28th overall. Devin Berger from Fluvanna, she is one of three, count them, three Fluvanna girls in the top 10 this week in the poll. I've never seen that. Her, Nicole Doma, and Stephanie Bosson are all in the poll this week from Fluvanna. Fluvanna did something they've never done before. They beat, it was kind of a, the price of being good. It's like St. Anne's Lacrosse. You know, everybody's always after them. The price of being good is that sometimes you're the victim of motivated teams that are having a great year. And I'm by no means putting Western down. It's a compliment to them that teams are excited to beat them. And Fluvanna did something they never did before. They beat them at this Almar Invitation, which moves them into number two in the poll this week. Fluvanna, the highest I've ever seen Fluvanna in the poll. Most number of girls I've ever seen in the top 10. It's great. Rose Brogan is our coach of the week. We always try and give a coach of the week, and she's done a phenomenal job with a very young team. I remember when Dave Lato first got here, and the first press conference, it always stuck on my head. He said this really cool thing. They said, what's your goal? What are your aspirations over the next 4 or 5 years? You know, what's the plan? He goes, you know what I love is the day that teams rush the court when they beat us. And I thought, that kind of says it all. It's the ultimate, you know, Nobody seems to rush the court when they beat Virginia in basketball.
Right.
But when anyone beats Duke, my son's Virginia Tech team, they went nuts beating Duke, and then they fell flat on their face a few days later. But, right. I mean, you know, that's cool when you beat them, but it's not, it means you're kind of not as good. So,
sure.
Slight to Fluvanna. That is not the analogy I was trying to use. They have got a legit team. Western better look out in the district meet because Fluvanna could win the district on the 26th of October. So Almo was the top team that day. On the girls' side, they were 11th without their number one runner. Flavanna was 12th, and Western was 14th without their number two runner, Katie Farina, out with a little bit of an injury, and so she'll be back. We're looking forward to that. And then the Wilson girls, 18th overall, Monticello High School, 21st. You can get all these results on milestat.com. It's a tremendous resource, and that's M-I-L-E-S-T-A-T. Then the marathons over the weekend, I just mentioned Chicago. We had some amazing performances. Gunn went off at 68. Now, you remember the 10-miler? We didn't get out of the 40s. And the 68, the start under full sun, and they finished in 82 degrees, not even close to good weather for marathoning. We continue to remind folks to, on a day like that, the number one goal is to dial back your number one mission, really, is to dial, number one tip, dial back your goal. It's not a sign of defeat. It's just being smart. But anyway, Amy Martin, 38 years old, one of my favorite athletes, four kids. She ran 302. Big PR for her. That's 7-minute pace.
That's great.
Let me repeat that, 7 minutes a mile. That's pretty impressive. Any age, any gender, any age, but 38 with four kids, full-time job. Pretty cool. She was followed by Sarah Braivort. Had a little bit of an off day. She was shooting for something a little heavier and just struggled out there. Heat affecting her a little bit and then had some stomach issues. 304 there. These three used to train together, Amy, Sarah, and Jenny. Jenny ran 304, Jenny Jorvig. So 303, 302, 303, 304. Pretty
That's
eerie.
That's really funny, yeah.
Kenny Ball, 54-year-old. Talk about him quite often. Just his seventh straight PR. His seventh marathon, seventh straight PR. He's gone from 4 hours down to 312 in 4 years. It's just amazing. And he's getting older. I mean, let's face it. He was 50. That's a pretty decent time. 4 hours for a first-time marathoner, 50. No, not good enough for him. He's down to 312. That's 720, Mike, a mile.
I was going to say that's 48 minutes.
720 a mile.
So he probably was starting around.
So you didn't do that for 10 miles. I'm not doing that for 10 miles. I'm not doing it for 5K necessarily. I'm not doing it for 5K anymore.
Unbelievable.
So,
very impressive.
Kenny had a tremendous day. We'll talk about his smartness in a second as a group here, because the whole group that went up there that I get to coach really ran smartly. Mark Hampton, 328. Harry Landers, 330. Those guys actually ran together most of the way and just paced themselves. Both of them had different goals this time rather than time. They wanted to feel good at the end. Both of them have had trouble finishing out marathons feeling good. Mm. Both are affected by the heat. And they said it was the most relaxed and controlled they have ever felt. Harry was only 30 seconds off his PR running a control race. These guys took salt tablets ahead of time, took salt tablets throughout. They drank electrolytes over the first 3 miles, 20 to 24 ounces, every one of them, and they poured water. Mark Hampton was telling me this morning, he poured water, 5 glasses of water over his head every mile and a half. And that saved him on a hot day, made him feel pretty comfortable, controlled, and they didn't go out too fast. Kenny Ball ran an amazing negative split event, each 5K faster than the previous 5K. Why? He wants to store away some solid miles ahead of time that are slower. So,
right.
I mean, we've talked about it over and over again, like a broken record, but yet I'm going to keep repeating this stuff until people actually practice it on a regular basis, which this group, pretty unique, they all practice and had good days.
Let me ask you this, Mark, because we're recording this right now and it's just pouring outside here. Now, 82 it's a beautiful day for, you know, just for a day to have, but for running a marathon, it makes it harder. Has there ever been scenarios where it's just so rainy outside or just it's unbearable that they've had to cancel anything?
The only time I've ever had to do it, and it has happened, is if it's affecting, you know, if there's flooding.
Right.
And they have either issues with parking cars or traffic getting there, or during the race, if the course is getting, you know, if a river is coming up over a bridge. But they see that coming ahead of time. No, it's rare. Today would be so much better to run a marathon in.
Than the
80s. Because it's 55, 58 and raining. Now, last week at Wineglass, I was whining as a coach again because it was 41 and raining. That's too cold with rain.
Yeah.
So I just feel like lately we haven't been able to buy even a halfway decent weekend for marathons. It's frustrating. So I continue to commend these folks for doing so well. At the Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, Steamtown Marathon, not a great name for a day that ended up being pretty steamy. It was 78 there at the finish. This is in up in the mountains of Pennsylvania, high up there, you know, north of Harrisburg by quite a bit, and it's still stinking 78 degrees. And that's rough. Full sun, which full sun's really bad. A lot of these folks said they snuck over to shade because there's still leaves on the trees. Excellent move. even though you may run a little further, you may run 27 miles instead of 26.2. Huge difference,
oh, yeah.
Mile after mile. Sarah Davis, 336, a PR. Kurt Siefkin, we're going to talk about him in a second. He ran a PR. Karen Dillon Jones, 401, a big PR. And Kate Sinclair, a PR also. Tremendous efforts up there. Kurt Siefkin, he's one of my runners of the week. This guy had a he's fifth year in our training program. Fifth year I've had coached him. Fifth summer I've coached him. Mm-hmm. I'm in awe of this guy. He hadn't fired me a long time ago because the guy, poor guy, couldn't finish out a marathon because he would cramp, calf cramps, bam. So last year he struggled through a 429, finally finished one, but it was hell. So he puts in his questionnaire, Mike, at the beginning of summer, I don't care about the time. I just want to finish one of these guys out without cramping.
Right.
I just don't want to feel like I'm limping, walking, stuttering along, stopping and stretching. So I gave him a bunch of tips on this and was actually built into his program. The main focus for him was to work on electrolyte drinking early and down, carrying a bottle of Gatorade with you from the start. Tacky, looks burdensome. Downing that sucker every half mile, drinking it 3-4 ounces. So you get rid of 20 ounces by 3 miles, 24 ounces. Throw the thing off to the side, throw the over by one of the water stops. Now you've built the foundation to the house. So what does this guy do? He goes from 429 and cramping to 358. No cramping.
That's awesome.
On a hot day, he's blown away. So he's
good for him.
It's Kurt, and it's S-I-E-F-K-E-N, amazing. I'm so proud of him. It's great for a coach. Oh, what a wonderful story. And then Jenny Jorvik is worth mentioning. I didn't mention this earlier. She did a kind of a subtle thing that maybe is one of the more commendable things of the day. She's run along with a training partner, Amy. Normally, she's a little bit faster than Amy in races, just a tad bit, but they train together, pretty locked in. Well, Jenny's left Charlottesville. She's going to get married, and she's living in Philadelphia, but she's been in Minnesota with her family over the summer, helping her sister with her brand-new baby, blah, blah, blah. Well, it got colder about a month ago, so she's wearing tights and long-sleeve shirt for about 3 or 4 weeks. Meanwhile, we're still down here in shorts and short-sleeve shirts, so we're still somewhat acclimatized this weather. So she's running along with Amy, 11 miles in, says, this is starting to feel a tad bit uncomfortable. I can handle it, but I'm feeling like Mark always says, don't labor. Shouldn't hear yourself breathing in a marathon. Starting to feel like this is going to be a long haul if I keep up this pace.
Right.
Says to Amy, so long, sister, go. She drops back only 5 seconds a mile. Maybe 8 seconds, 7-8 seconds. Not much. Dials it back, gets in a comfort zone where she feels really good. She runs 3:04. So her partner, teammate, runs 3:02, but over 15 miles, she was only able to get 2 minutes ahead of Jenny. It's like a riddle. Jenny was feeling bad. Why didn't she fall farther back? Because she wasn't in the panic mode yet. She still was in control.
Right.
Maturely, wisely, didn't say, I'm going to punch my way. If she'd done that, if she had hung with Amy for 3 more miles, I would argue she might not have run 3:08, 3:10.
Right.
So smart. I feel like a lot of my pounding into these guys
That's
is
good.
Really getting in. I hope folks listening that have marathons coming up are maybe gaining some guidance from it. Was at the Stab Invitational yesterday out at Tao Park. That's Tuesday. We're recording this on Wednesday, so any little bearings there. And Elias Hubbard, second week in a row, he's stormed that course. Miller's a top kid, and they 27 points, Pete Huffnagel and Chris Post, doing a beautiful job of coaching a very tiny school, tiny team. They're deep. They're solid. Second Invitational win in a row, positioning themselves as one of the pre-race favorites for the state meet for the small schools. And on the girls' side, Maddie Hunter, eighth grader, brand new to running. She runs under 20 minutes on the Ardentau course. That is so hard to do out there. That's a really tough course. And I'm thinking to myself, please, hopefully, Dan Wiggins, he's such a good coach. He's saying the right things. Her parents, I hope they're cool parents, are not saying things like, gee, if you're running under 20 minutes now, imagine what you can do as a senior. We should be thinking scholarship. We should be thinking up in your miles. Well, turns out the kid's got all of those things dialed in right. And I watched this little girl, she is, eighth grade, you're younger than my youngest daughter, comes through the chutes, finishes out, Mike. Now, this is a kid pretty new to the sport. And I hope this doesn't change because the behavior I just witnessed after that was like, oh my gosh, I want to bottle this. Leaves the chutes, comes back up on the outside of the chutes, kind of over where I was standing, but across from me.
Yeah.
And she sticks her hand out. Every single finisher. First, I thought she was just patting her St. Anne's teammates on the back as they came in. No. St. Catherine's. Tandem. covenant. Didn't matter who came across the finish line. Good race. Way to go. Good job. High-fiving them as they came in. Thinking, wow.
All right.
The girl that blew the field away, and she was way ahead of second place. Class act. And you know,
nice.
Obviously that's genetic. Some of it could be coaching. Some of it could be parenting, but nice to see. And also a side note, it was nice to see out there Doug Terrien. He's the athletic director at a cross-country meet. These ADs, when I see them out there, it always makes my heart sore thinking, good, you're supporting the little sport. Deb Tyson from Almar, she was at the Almar Invitational. Jay Thomas, the principal, was at the Almar Invitational. Always nice to see. Andy Jones-Wilkins from Tandem. He's the headmaster at Tandem. He's out there. He's actually the JV coach. So he's double dipping there.
That's
he's
right.
Headmaster of the school, and he's also coaching. So pretty cool stuff. Steve Elder, sub 60 minutes, broke the 60-minute barrier, a huge barrier, at the Army 10-miler on Sunday. His son Aaron was the number 5 guy. Aaron Elder, you heard us mention him earlier. That was his son on Saturday. That was the number 5 guy. So the Elder boys had quite a weekend. Again, a quick training tip, just getting those electrolytes in marathoning, 20 to 24 ounces in the first, and the first is capitalized, every single letter, the first 3 miles. Don't wait for the first water stop. Don't wait until you're thirsty. This is probably the biggest bit of advice I've gained or given to folks, new advice over this last year after observing Ryan Hall. We talked about it, do this at Boston last year.
Now, when I did the 10-miler, that was probably my biggest faux pas, I guess. I didn't drink enough early. Didn't do it.
Early. So important.
Yeah.
When you're not feeling like you need it. And at 10 mile, you got away with it because it was perfect. Literally. It was the perfect, best weather day we've had in a long time. Certainly the best weather day of the year. So that one wasn't such a big deal to do it. But if it had been sunny and hot, that would have been such an important investment to make.
Sure.
Amy, she drank about 26 ounces in the first 3 miles. Amy Martin, the one who ran the 302. And she said she just felt in control the whole way. You know, passing. She said no one passed her after about 15 miles. No one passed her. She passed people the whole way. That's a good feeling. Very quickly running through some other things here before we close out. Let's see. Okay, so maybe it's some upcoming races here. We've got Panorama Farms Invitational this Friday. That's the 11th out at Panorama Farms, obviously. That's UVA's biggest home meet of the season. First 200 folks there. Get one of those really sharp-looking UVA cross-country shirts.
Very nice.
Free. And it's free admission. 4 o'clock, guys' race, I think, starts at 4. A lot of good schools there. Come on out, cheer on Jason Vigilante's gang, boys and girls. Chocolate Chase Saturday morning downtown, First United Methodist Church. Great, great event, 5K urban event for a lot of worthy causes. Good for those folks, Skip Mullaney, Wendell Golden, and all the folks that helped there. Buck Mountain Half Marathon, if that interests you, it's kind of a glorified training run out in Free Union. That's at 6:30 a.m. Nice little early start. Beat the sun and get you moving on your day. That's Saturday morning. It's a free event, and it's a half marathon measured course, splits. We have mile markers. That's, again, start 6:30 out at Wesley Chapel Row. 10-mile training program kicks off. Tell your friends that are out of shape. Two more people told me this morning their spouses are doing this.
Very good.
Coming out to do that. Starts on the 29th of October, 8 o'clock at the Charlottesville High School track. Exploring on foot, I once again reiterate, we have this wonderful resource, the RTF, the Rana Trails Foundation, has this loop. That loop is a greenbelt loop that, you know, perimeters the city. Wonderful 20 miles of it. But there's a sneaky little connector that a lot of times folks don't know about that can take you from one side of the river and the northern side of the river along Riverview Park. That's the paved section. If you run down to Free Bridge and go underneath the bridge, and pick up the stairs and go across the bridge, you've picked up a trail on the other side that'll take you right into Tao Park. And there's a lot of nice grass paths there. So there's actually a road, too. If you're ever coming down Pantops, and right before Free Bridge, there's a little building there. Sometimes it's used cars. There's been a variety of businesses. And there's actually a right-hand turn there. That's a shortcut to get into Tao Park.
Huh.
And that connection comes up right behind the park maintenance office there. By the Elks Lodge.
Yep.
So when I was coming home yesterday from the Stab Invitational, instead of going out onto 20 and fighting with the light at 20 at Pantops, I took a quick right coming out of Tao Park, still in Tao Park.
Mm-hmm.
The road comes into Tao Park, and it parallels the Ravana. I came out onto 250, turned right, and I'm literally on the bridge at that point.
It's been to
Freebirds. Yeah. Anyway, it's a great place to run. Nice cinder path there along the road. A couple of quick terms. We talked about the fifth man. Hopefully folks understand that one. But TOF, time on your feet, that's your long run in training for a marathon or half marathon. The goal is to be out there for as long, and this is particularly pertinent for marathoning. You want to be out there for as long as your marathon is. So if you're shooting for 4 hours, Mike, and you've been doing 20-mile runs and they're taking you 3 hours or 3 hours and 10 minutes, whatever, to run 20-mile runs, you haven't simulated the feeling of being out there for a marathon. But you say, well, I don't, Mark, you told me I can't run a marathon prior to a marathon. No, but you can sneak the system. We have folks running 22 and 23-mile runs, so still shy of the marathon distance, so they can recover from them pretty quickly. But you run them slow enough, a minute slower per, and you got your time on your feet. So that's your tough run, your TOF. All right, so runners of the week, Madeline Hermsmeyer Monticello, 10th overall, 1924, at Almore Invitation. Ryan Thomas shooting up to number two in the poll with his 10th place finish, also at the same meet. Amy Martins, 302 at Chicago. Kenny Balls, 312. These are all great runners of the week. But I got to give the top spot to Kurt Siefkin, the crampless man who just, you know, a 31-minute PR. And this is a veteran of several marathon attempts. Yeah. Like I said, I'm amazed he didn't fire me several years ago as his coach and say, you know, I'm going to look for some other person to help me out because I can't finish the doggone thing. So congrats to him and congrats to everyone. Cool. And I have a lot more to talk about next week. We're in marathon season and racing season. But until then, everyone, thanks again for listening and stay on your feet.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at RaggedMountainRunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop.